Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. We got a very fun show ahead. We got Cousin Sal coming up on the back end of the show, but joining us now, the Ringer's very own Kevin O'Connor, KOC. I'm excited to see you, man. We get to talk NBA, top of the show.
Fired up. Every week, rest of the season.
Right. That's we buried the lead a little bit. Kevin O'Connor is going to be joining us on Through the Ringer. We're going to be breaking down everything happening in the NBA, and it's going to be a lot of fun because there's a lot happening in the NBA. Am I correct in thinking that?
I mean, it's the final stretch right now. Tate, the Western Conference standings are packed.
Yeah.
Teams are super close. East Boston's running away with the number one seed, but everything else is pretty close after that for teams vying for positioning.
It's good for TheRinger.com. The Boston Celtics, their net margin is very high right now. We're talking like 1996 Chicago Bulls. That's what our boss, Bill Simmons, was talking about on the podcast. Shout out to him and Ryan Russillo handling their business there. But let's talk about the NBA. Let's talk about what's trending. I do know the Milwaukee Bucks after All-Star Weekend, they were trending for the wrong reasons, but UKOC think that they're trending for the right reasons on the basketball court. So let's start there with Milwaukee.
So they are 7-8 in their last 15 games. Not a great record.
Not
ever
great,
since ever since they fired Adrian Griffin. However, you got to look behind just the basic record, and you're going to see a team that's trending up with a chance to win the finals, and it's because of their defense. That's what had to be solved most when Griffin was fired. They were 22nd in defensive rating when Griffin was fired. They're 6th since then. And this is happening because they're stopping points in the paint with better transition defense. They're getting back. They're more. They're choosing correctly who to help off of from the three-point line. And this increased defensive rating with them over the last 15 games is despite the fact opponents are shooting threes really well against them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for Milwaukee, as that number regulates, returns to the mean, you're going to see Milwaukee's defense get even better over the course of the year because they're doing things right from a process standpoint, and the results are following for them and should even get better.
Well, there you see it. First in transition defense. Obviously, that's a big factor when it comes to any NBA defense, but the Bucks have made that a point of emphasis, to say the least. Is that right?
And absolutely. I mean, they're getting back on defense. They're stopping those easy transition chances. It said on the graphic, they're 23rd in transition points allowed prior to Doc Rivers being hired, but they're actually, you know, last in terms of stopping transition chances.
Wow.
So they went from last to first in that regard. But the most important thing ultimately is getting stops in the half court, and that's where the Bucks have made the most progress. So let's take a look at a couple of those plays to explain that. So in the third quarter, the Bucks held the Wolves to only 13 points, and it's because of communication. You see it right here. You got a switch on ball with Damian Lillard and Jay Crowder. Now, you would think Towns on Dame, that's a bad matchup, right? But right away, communication. Dame's pointing for a switch with Brooke Lopez. Lopez takes Towns, and now Dame has Gobert. Not as much of an offensive
threat. But Gobert on the perimeter, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Gobert on the perimeter, it's okay at this point. So they're going to switch that. Now you have Dame in coverage against Anthony Edwards. That's not great against Ant, rolling down the rim. But then look here. You got Giannis helping off of McDaniels in the corner. Brooke Lopez ready to help on Edwards. They contain that. Kicks out to the corner. Good contest by Giannis in the corner on McDaniels, a subpar three-point shooter this season. Later in the quarter, again, really good communication here. Dribble handoff on the side. Bucks switch that action at the top. Then to Gobert on the elbow. You have Crowder on McDaniels, and then Beasley on Edwards up top with the handoff here. But again, communication. Lopez is in drop this time because they're not switching screens with Lopez. He needs to protect against Ant on the drive and against Gobert on the roll right here. So he's backpedaling, but look at all the Bucks jerseys. One, two, three, four, five. All focused on that Ant-Gobert action. And again, look at the key here. They don't want to give up a layup. They don't want to give up a lob. Who are they helping off of here? McDaniels in the corner.
Naz Reid in the other corner.
Exactly. Right? And then look at Edwards here. All these bodies around him. They don't want to allow at the rim. Tough kick-out pass. Misses. Turnover. Bucks get the ball back. That kind of sums up everything we saw from Milwaukee over the course of that game, especially in the third quarter. 13 points allowed, stifled that Minnesota half-court offense because they were communicating, they had a game plan, they executed, they hustled. These are things that it felt like the Bucks didn't have under Griffin. Players like including Giannis were publicly complaining, we don't have a plan.
Right.
Now they do under Doc Rivers, and that's really turning into really good defense for them and improvements across the board.
And we've seen that conversation about the Bucks defense, you know, since last year in the playoffs. Giannis afterwards when they lost said he wished that he was matched up with Jimmy Butler. That was a big point of contention at the start of the year. You got the Lopez brothers going out and saying we should be playing in drop coverage. So it's been a conversation point, but it feels like they are trying to remedy the situation right now. And if you look at the odds, Milwaukee plus 650 to win the NBA championship, that feels like good value, KOC. Am I crazy to feel that way?
I think it's amazing value right now because their defense is trending up. Their offense right now is not even clicking. It's been worse ever since they hired Doc, but I don't think that's any reason other than just small sample size, missed three-pointers. The team should get better over the course of time on offense to return what they were pre-Doc, and I believe their defense is sustainable. It looks a heck of a lot more like it did under Budenholzer in past years. Doc's just taken what works, copy and pasted it to this new team, and hey, here we are.
Right.
The Bucks are getting stops again.
Yeah, just keep microphones away from Doc Rivers and tell him he's not on the Bill Simmons podcast anymore, and I think everybody's winning, right?
Sometimes he's just going to stick to changing his defensive schemes, doing his thing on the court, you know, adjusting the matchup, and don't worry about the microphones. You're not doing pods or broadcasts anymore.
Well, you know a team that doesn't worry about the microphones or the videos or any coverage, really. My Charlotte Hornets, because they don't get much coverage, KOC, but right now they're 5-1, and they have the best defense in the NBA since the All-Star break. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Are you shocked by this?
I mean, it's a repeat of last year. They were number one defensive rating for a certain time after the All-Star break last year. Here we are.
We love the vacation there. Let's look at what Steve Clifford had to say about everybody actually trying on this Hornets team.
I would say Cody being healthier. I'd say Grant Williams anchoring the defense, his talk, his organization, his physicality. And then, you know, this sounds funny, but I did tell them, said that right now everybody's trying. You know, which is, you know, if they try hard and they have a feel for the game, you can be okay.
There you have it. The secret to success in the NBA, KOC, trying hard. Who would have thought? Was this good to see Steve Clifford admit that the team is trying hard?
I mean, that's why he loves a rookie, actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the first time in his entire coaching career in Brandon Miller. I'm sure Steve Clifford loves seeing Brandon Miller hustle back on defense and transition and get mad at his teammates when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times this year, we've seen Miller shouting at his teammates, get back, get back, get back. Because Brandon Miller, you know, big bright spot for Charlotte this year. Of course, mostly on offense. But for that Hornets defense, it's nice to see them stepping up with all the bodies they have. They have a lot of good talent.
Yeah, Grant Williams has kind of been an anchor on that defense, as Clifford had said. And Seth Curry, not Steph Curry, but Seth Curry comes back home wearing number 30, his dad's jersey. Dell very happy about
that. Start the recruiting.
Yeah, it's we need more, as many Currys as we can get. We'll take Sadell Curry at this point, KFC. Hornets Bucks also playing tonight. So if you want to see those two defenses in action, we will see that. Something's got to give between those two teams. I would lean towards the Milwaukee Bucks, but hey, I believe in my Charlotte Hornets. Now let's have some fun. Let's do some superlatives, KOC. We're going to have some fun with this throughout the year. First up, your superlative, silver lining of the week. What is the silver lining of the week, Kevin?
The silver lining of the week is Trae Young getting hand surgery for the Atlanta Hawks. Here's why this is a silver lining.
Doesn't Hawks sound fan, like a silver lining.
Hawks fans don't like me. They're mad at me, Tate.
Okay,
they don't like me because I've said the Hawks could trade this summer. Last year, I talked about how it could be a possibility in their future as well. But here's the thing. If a Hawks fan wants any chance of keeping Trae this summer, they need one of two things. Higher draft odds or just better assets that exist already on the roster. DeJounte Murray was not a sought-after player at the deadline around the league. This is DeJounte Murray's chance to increase his value and show what he can do with higher usage more consistently. Consistency. He's been very good this year in minutes without Trae. We'll see if that sustains now over an extended absence. And then also, Kobe Bufkin, their rookie. He hasn't gotten many chances. He just had 41 points recently for the Hawks G League team. We'll see how he translates. Can he improve his value? So for Atlanta, I think over the next 4+ weeks, however long Trae will be out, this is an opportunity for clarity to find out what you have on your team, what their value is, who you want to keep moving forward. And you know what? Maybe if you lose some games along the way, you get higher draft odds, you miss out on the play-in, you could slip out. And you, who knows, maybe you end up with a number one pick if you win the lottery. So I think for Atlanta, it could end up being a blessing in disguise that Trae misses time. And you know what? Maybe you end up trading in the summer anyway, but I think this is the path that helps increase the chances of keeping him.
Trae Young leading the NBA in assists, by the way, before going under to get this surgery. So he has had a good year by Trae Young standards. But like you said, there is another level they're trying to get to, another gear, and
he may not
be the guy.
Yeah. He's been, in my opinion, better than he's ever been. Because of the defensive effort, he's taking charges, he's going for deflections, he's moving off ball to accommodate Murray more often. Trae is the best he's ever been in my evaluation, he's solved a lot of the problems I've had with him in the past.
And when you're a small guard like Trey, I do feel like the best way that you can have an impact defensively is deflections and steals.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what Muggsy Bogues taught all of us.
Like Clifford said, just try.
Yeah, just try. Yeah, give some effort. That'll be good. My superlative of the week, long ball of the week, and I'm not talking about Larry David. I am talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo to Brook Lopez. If you didn't see this pass, check it out. This is the Bucks-Sixers game. This is an incredible pass from Giannis Antetokounmpo. This feels like a pass that if Jokic did, we'd be, you know, showing it over and over again, KOC. But Giannis was the one that made this happen.
Well, that's because, as my good friend Ben Thompson from Stratechery says, big Bucks fan, but you've seen him on Bill's podcast, as he says, no one watches the Bucks.
Right. Well, I watched the Bucks, and this was an incredible play. So shout out to Giannis and Brook Lopez. Another long ball of the week. Jalen Suggs, a quarterback in high school. Shout out to his time out there at Minnesota. Long ball to Paolo Banchero, who's also a great story. Cried after a game winner the other night. I'd love to see that passion. Jalen Suggs to Paolo Banchero. What are our thoughts on Jalen Suggs? Been a nice redemption year for him.
Excellent to see him getting better. Paolo Banchero as well. Had the game winner recently. Franz Wagner. I love Franz Wagner. Big fan of him. The Magic. They're trending up big time. Anthony Black, even a rookie.
Yeah.
He's raw still. Not getting a lot of minutes,
but
looking good.
I'm a big fan of Anthony Black, and I'm a big fan of the Orlando Magic song that is everywhere. I feel like it just lives in the back of my mind whenever I want to, you know, think of a nice little jingle. Next superlative for you, KOC. Or actually, this is for me, post of the week. It usually can be a big man because I love the bigs. I love when they post up somebody. But this is a Jimmy Butler social media post. He was suspended after a scuffle. It all started with Kevin Love and Zion Williamson, and then he put up a picture of him and Jovic and said that they are the bad boys. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Butler likes to have some fun. He said it was all Nikola Jovic's fault that he is one of the bad boys. But what are your thoughts on this post of the week?
I like the top comment there. Tobias Harris is better than you. That's not true. That's a lie.
Right. That sounds like someone that likes the Sixers. But yeah, I love that. Post of the week there from Jimmy Butler. Having fun as always. Jimmy is one of the best. Last superlative here. Rookie of the week, KFC. Who is it?
Let's go with Grady Dick.
I love it.
Grady Dick from the Toronto Raptors.
Should have done Dick of the Week. That would have been a good one.
We could have done Dick of the Week. After long ball of the week, it only makes sense.
I know, right.
But with Grady Dick, he got off to a terrible start to the year with Toronto and with their G League team. He was shooting below 30% from three. Mm-hmm. Looked like he lacked confidence. His shot didn't even look as good mechanically. Well, guess what? Over his last 10 games, shooting 50% from three, he's had two 18-point games, one game over 20 points. He looks completely comfortable. And of course, yes, he's hitting threes like he did in high school, like he did at Kansas when he was a top prospect. But he's also hitting pull-up jumpers from mid-range, floaters, making these beautiful cuts to the basket within the flow of this motion offense the Raptors run, helping, you know, giving opportunities for Barnes or Quickly to find him at the rim. He's looking to me like a real player at this time. It just took a little while for him to get here, but looking like a big win for the Raptors in the second half of the season.
And I feel like a subtle thing that they did, a nice thing that they did, they brought in Ochai Agbaji, who was his roommate at Kansas. They have a nice rapport and relationship with each other. Ochai had 14 points the other night on 5 of 6 shooting. Very, you know, just very like within the flow of the game. You know, you love to see that from Ochai, and I like those two guys together. And with RJ out, it's kind of opened the door for Ochai. So a nice signing there. We just talked about a guy, Grady Dick, a rookie. Let's look at some of the new kids on the block. I obviously watch and talk a lot about college basketball. You are the guy who is focused on the draft guide. So we got a lot of new kids on the block that you and I like to talk about. And let's start with the guy at USC out here in Los Angeles, Isaiah Collier. One time we were talking maybe potentially the number one pick. He got hurt. There was some sort of downtrodden conversation about him. He bounces back. Now he's playing some great basketball. Got that burst back. What are your thoughts just generally right now on Isaiah Collier?
I have him in the middle of the first round at this time. My draft guide will be updated next week, somewhere in the 12 to 17 range. With Collier, look, I mean, I was at the USC-UCLA game the other night. There's no doubt about his burst. There's no doubt about his ability to get downhill. I still have questions about the decision-making, the passing accuracy. How good is he really as a shooter?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had an extended stretch where he's been a knockdown guy. With Collier, I like the potential. It's easy to see, but I still want to see some development with the decision-making and also, most importantly, with the jumper to really feel good about him as a top five, top 10 guy in this draft.
Yeah, it does feel like he's kind of on the fringe of the lottery at this point, which is not a bad place to be for anybody. I did like one thing. I went to the USC game when they played Oregon. He did not play in that game, but I liked how involved he was with everybody else. A lot of times when you have a guy who's a top recruit, a potential lottery pick, they might be kind of, you know, disengaged when you have a game like that. But
talks
he was locked
lot.
In, right? Yeah.
High so five and teammates. Was good. He's trying to be a leader, trying to be a point guard, right?
Yeah. So if we were to forecast, I love the shades of, is there someone that comes to mind where you're like, this kind of reminds me of Collier? I mean, Bill has said to me, Tyreek Evans, that's a name that comes to mind.
I think that's the one I have in my draft guide. Okay, Tyreek right. Evans, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I like the Evans comp.
Was rookie of the year, by the way.
For good and bad reasons. Right. I like the Tyreek Evans comp. I mean, he could be best case Tyreek Evans, which is rookie of the year Tyreek Evans, but the worst case Tyreek Evans is the guy who never really found his shot.
Yeah, well, let's see if Isaiah Collier can find that shot. He's our first new kid on the block, so we'd love to break that down. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to KOC about his power rankings in the NBA. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Kevin O'Connor, and we did our superlatives. We had some fun, talked about some of the new kids on the block. Now let's talk about the power rankings. I feel like everybody in the NBA has to do the power rankings. The Ringer does their power rankings. I went to you, Kevin, and I said, I want to know KOC's power rankings of the NBA. Let's just start there. Like, how do you process someone telling you to give you their power rankings? Like, is this something you're tinkering with all the time in your head?
I mean, doing teams is difficult. Doing players is even
doing
harder.
Doing rankings is hard in general.
It's tough. I mean, the players aspect, the side of it, which is what I did for this week, is incredibly difficult because, I mean, you have a guy ranked 25th. Mm-hmm. You could argue the guy ranked 37th is higher than him. It's team, situation, opportunity.
Right.
It's very tough to do player rankings.
Yeah, moments in time. Guys play differently. Guys have different opportunities. Guys have ceilings with their talent. Mm-hmm. Guys have floors of their talent. There's a whole lot of nuance in it. But let's start with your number one guy. Who is your number one guy in the power rankings? Is it Nikola Jokic or is it Giannis Antetokounmpo? Who do you have?
Still have Jokic number one.
I like it.
The king of the league right now, number one. Giannis is number two right behind him, though. But I think for those two guys at the top with Embiid third, there's a pretty clear-cut top tier with Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, Luka, Steph. You can argue those guys any way you want. Mm-hmm. You could argue SGA. I have him sixth. You could argue him over Steph right now. I wouldn't make that argument, but you could.
I think the most fascinating guy that you have on your list that is kind of climbing the rankings because of how fascinating he is, obviously, is Victor Wembanyama, the rookie of the year, the presumed rookie of the year, I should say. Where is he on your rankings, and how high can he even climb by the end of the year?
So Victor, I have him 15th right now.
That feels right, yeah.
15th.
Feels good.
I'm glad
you
were on the same page here, Tate. Yeah. Back in November when I first did these top 50 rankings, I had him 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, a lot of people were like, no, this is premature. It's too high. I think it's going to be the same reaction once people watch this, having him 15th. But I'll tell you what, you've watched him. He had a 5x5. He's going to have a quadruple-double inevitably, either this season or next season. It's going to happen. He is a 20-point-per-game guy who's a dominant at-rim finisher. He shoots over 40% on threes off the dribble. At 7'4", Tate, he shoots over 40% on threes off the bounce. He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then defensively, he is already, if not the best defensive player in the league, one of the three best defensive players in the league, which is why I'd say FanDuel has him rightfully up there for Defensive Player of the Year odds. I don't think he'll win it over Gobert. But the Spurs defense, ever since they moved him to center, which was the big change for them this year, not moving Trey Jones to point guard, making Victor Wembanyama the center. Their defense has been in the top 10 with him on the floor. It's been in the top 5 with him on the floor in more recent weeks. He is going to go down as the greatest defensive player in the history of basketball if he stays healthy, and he's already arguably the best in the league, right next to Gobert.
It does feel like he kind of was on the Evan Mobley plan where they had him at the 3 or the 4 and they were going to let Zach Collins be the 5, but he was so ahead of schedule that they decided to go ahead and bump him up. And I think that's the most encouraging part when you talk about Victor Wembanyama.
Collins is the tanking player. He's like the tanker of the year.
Yeah.
Every time he comes on the floor.
He came on the show. Great guy. I wouldn't have called him that to his face. He's a really tall guy.
I like Zach Collins too. He's a good player. It's just
where's
when
he
you,
on your rankings?
It's just when you have Victor actor on the court. It's like going from dating Angelina Jolie to Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, wow. It's a little bit of a difference.
It's just striking to go between those
two. Could have been in like a Shallow Hal type situation there, maybe, where we saw Zach Collins thriving. Who knows what Greg Popovich is up to? But I like Wimby there. The other guy who is the key point of most conversations when it comes to the NBA is Jason Tatum. I have seen Stephen A. I've seen some other people kind of turn this conversation where they're saying that he is the MVP of the league just based on the success of the Boston Celtics. I remember when he got a haircut years ago, he said he feels like he's top five. You do not have him in your top five. A lot of people do have him in his top five. What does Jason Tatum have to do to get into that top five? Or is it the fact that he's with Jaylen Brown and they're kind of a combination take away from him being one of those guys?
You know, maybe it does.
That's how I've always felt. I've always felt like it was like two A-minus guys, you know what I mean, instead of
maybe
one
A-plus.
Right.
But I don't think having him ninth is some knock on him necessarily. Right. Like if this were a tier instead of a ranking list, he'd be in the same, right next to like SGA and LeBron. He'd still be
tier
in
one.
The same. Yeah,
right.
I mean, tier two. Jokic, Giannis, Luka.
Okay,
let's
right.
put them tier one.
Okay,
but
I like that.
Tier two. I just think with Tatum, it's still playmaking. You know, some of those other guys ahead of him are more primary playmakers, creators for their teams.
Tatum is a talking point, as always. Let's look at some of these Tuesday NBA games. Let's do a little preview here. We talked about the Bucks taking on the Hornets. That'll be a fun game. But we also got Wembanyama taking on Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year showdown. Minnesota -14 in this game. What do you expect to see from the Spurs in this one? Could this be a fun game? Anthony Edwards versus Victor Wembanyama, the number one picks. That could be good.
I expect a Minnesota blowout.
Right. Yeah. That's probably what you should, based on the line. That's what
I'll tell you what, though, it will be fun to watch the two French centers going at it. Mm. It's an opportunity again for Victor, who seems to be, you know, really trying to prove himself second half of the year. He's having fun out there, going for a 5x5. So now going against Rudy Gobert, I'm sure he's going to try to get some blocks against his fellow Frenchman.
I think he also felt good when Sochan got asked about, like, you know, everyone was asking, who do you want to throw lobs to? And every answer was Victor. And then they, you know, Sochan's just standing there and he's like, oh, that's actually my job. Yeah. I should probably do that more often based on all these other guys. So that was fun to see. Well, that'll be a fun game, the Frenchman going at it. We also have the Mavs and the Cavs. Luka Doncic taking on Donovan Mitchell's Cavaliers. Cavs -3.5 in this one. The Cavs are kind of like the talk of the town. Everyone's turning and talking about how they could be a real threat in the East. How do we feel about this game?
Two teams trending way up in recent weeks, especially Dallas more recently after their trade deadline additions of Daniel Gafford at center and PJ Washington from your Charlotte Hornets. The Mavericks, you know, I picked them in this game. They just dropped a game the other night. But I think with this Dallas offense, with Luka and Kyrie playing at the levels they are and their defense stepping up, you know, it'll be a difficult opponent with Cleveland playing at the level they are. But I love this Dallas roster. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It feels like Dallas has found a combination that works around Luka, works around Kyrie. And PJ Washington hasn't even been great offensively for them yet. He hasn't had a knockdown shooting game from three. He hasn't had one of those 20-point or 30-point bangers like we've seen him have with Charlotte. But he's been very good defensively. Maybe this will be a game against a good Cavaliers defense where he could be the guy that finds weak spots and manages to rack up points.
Yeah, I like when Kyrie is posting like pictures of himself in 2010, 2011 on Instagram. That's when you know that he's locked in. So I do think that's good news for all the Mavs fans out there. There you have it. Kevin, where can we find all your amazing work here?
Over at theringer.com. My draft guide will be updated next week at nbadraft.theringer.com. And every Tuesday and Friday, the Mismatch podcast feed, me and Chris Vernon in our eighth season now, Tate.
Memphis Grizzlies, the best of times. Love it, man. Appreciate you coming on the show. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Tate. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. Joining us now, football season is over, but Cousin Sal is still on the show. Sal, great to see you, man.
Is it great to see me?
It is great to see you.
I feel like I'm now the second fiddle to KOC.
I know.
I thought we were closer than you and KOC, but you're the greatest KOC.
Yeah,
we'll get to talk basketball.
But we didn't dap each other up, you know what I mean? You and I, we always dap each other up.
Well,
Kevin and I didn't have that moment.
There was no time because you had 20 minutes worth of the Hornets coach being interviewed.
I know.
No time to dap.
I know.
No, I love you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you back. back. I hope you're holding up okay, because football, I mean, it's not as fun.
A little on edge. Yeah, but
the good news is that we can still play my favorite game even without football. Did you know this?
See, that's how I know I'm truly your favorite, because we're playing your favorite. You didn't do that with KOC.
Of course.
You're doing it with me.
I tried to play it with Joe House. Yeah, over under reactions. Okay. And let's start with a good one, because this is a big reaction from the weekend. So I know you saw this. The NCAA needs to ban court rushing forever. What say you, over or under reaction?
All right. I'm going to say this is an overreaction, but I still don't think it was right the way Wake Forest did it. And I'm going to have a lot more to say on this on Cousin Sal's winning weekend.
Please.
I don't mind it, but it has to be appropriate, okay? The Duke player got hurt, so everyone's excited about that. He's going to be fine. That really has nothing to do with it. The fact that they were favored to win the game, Tate. I know they don't normally beat Duke, so it's sort of a big deal, but they were favored by 3 at home, and they stormed the court. It's the ultimate example of act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I think you have to read the paper in the morning. If you're a 10-point underdog, fine. Then you could storm the court against a top-5 team. Not appropriate there.
And it felt like Wake Forest was celebrating the fact that they now think they're going to be in the NCAA tournament firmly, but they don't know how Joe Lunardi works. Joe Lunardi will take him out of that bracketology just as quickly as he puts him in.
Oh, they'll have 2 quad-4 losses between now and 2 weeks from now. Yeah,
so they got to be careful. I've seen Seth Greenberg with Virginia Tech years ago. I remember Dick Vitale telling him that they were in the dance after they beat Duke, and then cut to 3 weeks later.
Right.
They were not in the dance, as it turns out. So that was a little bit bad. And then Filipowski, luckily, like you said, not injured. They didn't even give him an MRI. His coach said it was an ankle injury. He said it was a knee injury. Then you got people looking back at the film like it's a Zapruder film, and they're breaking down, did he push the guy? Did he try to trip the guy? It's all very college basketball at its core, and that's why I think court storming matters and needs to stay in the game, but they just need to be better about the safety.
I agree,
practice.
And really they're not going to outlaw it until like the demon deacon gets knocked over and goes into cardiac arrest.
Well, Jay Billis said we should arrest these kids.
Yes.
So I think the future might be a bunch of 21-year-olds getting handcuffed on the court, which could be fun.
Load them up in jail and let them come in out at the end of the season.
Well, people say that you're going to remember these moments forever. I think you will remember that moment forever, being in a jail cell, and they're like, what got you in here? And it's like, Duke lost.
Right.
Yeah, we beat Duke. That would be good. Next one's out. Nick Saban is the only person who can save college football. Over or under reaction?
Listen, I wish he would have saved, forget about saving college football, I wish he would have saved me $300 and let me know what that terrible fourth down play was going to be against Michigan. But I don't know. What the best he's going to do is convince a duck to give all the college players a break on car insurance. I don't see how he's going
to. Affleck, shout out to Affleck. Let's hope he gets it figured out. But it does feel like he's setting up to be the next Lee Corso, right, of college game day. And Lee Corso has been a great voice in fixing college football throughout the
put
years.
Put a mascot head on, a giant mascot head on, run around, talk about NIL.
And don't talk about anything else. That'll be good. Next one, Cam Newton. I love Cam Newton. Cam Newton's hat staying on during his fight was the biggest upset of the weekend. Over or under reaction? If you didn't see this, Cam Newton got jumped at his own football camp and proceeded to absolutely just whoop these 5 kids that were going after him, and his hat stayed on the entire time.
A lot of good defense, a little like Pernell Whitaker, right?
With the
Wicked Witch of that West hat on, which was very, it was almost like he got a dare. Like someone said, okay, it's like riding a Bronco. Okay, how long can you balance this Wicked Witch hat on while evading punches?
Right.
And he did it. I'll tell you what, they should sign him. The Panthers should sign him. I really think, let's go to the Charlotte Hornets coach, see what he's
He liked the. I think he liked the energy and effort. That's what that's what he was saying.
Right.
But shout out to Cam Newton. That was honestly, I think that helped his brand. As far as the people now want to see him break down his own film of the fight, and it'll be great stuff for Cam. Speaking of the NFL, let's talk about the running backs. This is the richest running back market in NFL history. Sal, what say you, over or under reaction?
Yeah, I think that's an underreaction because last year I think the league felt bad for the running backs a little bit.
They talked about unionizing the running backs.
Yeah, like we're not going to pay you what you want. But all right, at least we'll franchise tag Pollard and who else was it? Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. Those guys aren't getting tagged, it looks like, this year. Neither is Derrick Henry. Neither is Austin Eckler. It's going to be big. And I hear like Adrian Peterson and maybe even OJ is going to come back.
Wow.
He's making a lot of videos.
Yeah.
You never know. This is a rich class.
Right. Emmitt Smith. I mean, anybody out there that is.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that'd be great. And then even Eckler out here with the Chargers. That'll be another conversation.
I said Eckler. Why do you listen to KOC?
Yeah, I know. I got lost. I started thinking about the Charlotte Hornets coach again. Next one, Caleb Williams. Williams, who is most people believe the number one pick in the NFL draft, is going to cost himself being the number one overall draft pick by not throwing at the NFL Combine. Over or under reaction?
I think that's an overreaction. I don't want to bring politics into this, but it's like you're winning, and why Trump didn't debate the other Republican candidates. Like, I'm winning. I got everything to lose.
Right.
This guy, Caleb Williams, is being compared to Mahomes. Imagine if he has a bad day in February and screws that up. Why would he do that? Why would he sit out a bowl game if he's not going to sit out something like this? So I think it makes sense for him to sit out, and it's not going to hurt him.
Yeah, Drake May will be throwing at the Combine, so that'll be a chance for him maybe to climb up the draft boards. We'll see how that goes. Next one, Sal. Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers will save baseball for the younger generation. Obviously, first year with the Dodgers, over or under reaction?
Younger than 75 years old? Is
yes,
that what you mean?
Yeah, I think younger than 60.
I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. I hate to say this, but I think Ohtani is only half as exciting when he's not pitching. Mm-hmm. You see how I did that math? Half of it's pitching, half of it's hitting.
Right.
The baseball's okay. The pitch clock saved everyone. More tweaks, it'll be fine. You know what they should do? I think, you know, they have the nets up, you know, because too many fans were on their phones not paying attention. I think they should randomly take the nets down.
Right.
And that's why you got to be on your toes.
And then you got to bring your glove to the game.
Yeah,
like, basically as protection more than anything.
That'll make it more exciting.
And then we get nostalgia. People bring their gloves. That'd be great. Yeah. I think that'd be good for baseball. And the younger generation would have to pay attention because foul balls are coming at their face. Last one, Sal. The F1 swoon in America is waning. Maybe officially over. What say you? Over or under reaction?
You know, I may or may not have invested in one of these teams, so I hope that's an overreaction. I mean, one guy wins all the time,
right?
Max
Verstappen. I say Verstappen, but
I say he looks like every villain in every Lethal Weapon movie. But,
he should be in a Bond movie, right?
Yeah, maybe they need another Netflix special. I mean, this one hosted by Chappelle, but still F1 to revitalize the interest.
He's just making jokes about all the drivers. That'd be great. Right. Yeah, that'd be fun to watch. I love that. So there you go. We just played our favorite game, over under reaction. We can do it without football. We can have fun
with
this.
We can.
Right. So now let's do something else without football. Let's do the riverboat question this week, Sal. And the captain is saying, what is the best week in sports? We have the odds here. The first week of the NCAA tournament is the favorite, 2-1. NCAA semifinals / NFL wildcard weekend, 3-1. The Kentucky Derby NBA playoff weekend, 8-1. Thanksgiving week, just in general, Maui Invitational, football, everything going on, college football, 15-1. Or the field at -160. What say you, Sal?
I usually like to go the field. You know, honestly, the best week is when my kids' Little League travel all-star team is eliminated for the summer competition. I can freaking go to the beach on Saturday. That's
free weekend.
That's the best week in sports. But I'm going to say this NCAA semifinals leading into wildcard weekend. Tate, you got Thursday and Friday. You got the four teams battling it out. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm going to have to get another job. I'm going to have to be Pussy Mannequin's roadie or something to save up money for this big thing.
Whatever it is. Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think the first week of the NCAA tournament, the favorite is probably the basic one that I would go for. It just makes my heart flutter, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It just feels like anything is possible. You're watching all these games. You're breaking down what it's going to be. And then just in a snap of a finger, by that Sunday, it's all gone. So you got to really enjoy the magic while you have it. So everybody has a chance, even the little guys. So I like that. 2-1 odds, I'll take it. And I'm sure that some other people have some thoughts on what would be their favorite week.
I don't think so. I think it's just me and you.
That'd be great. Now let's do a fun segment, which is a new segment for us. This is where you set the line. So you are, the person in charge here. You're going to come up with some lines. You're going to explain to me what's going on. So I'll throw it to you, Sal.
All right,
let's let Sal set the lines.
Okay, Sal sets the lines. This is not, you cannot bet these. These are recreational. These are like phony FanDuel lines, is basically what we'll call this. Michigan, the football team, sent a record 18 players to the combine. Will that record ever be broken? Yes, -240. No, +180. What do you think, Tate?
I'm going to go with yes, that it will be broken. I'm not sure what team it will break. I would have said Alabama. Honestly, would have thought maybe Alabama had done that before, but, I mean, the 18 is there. What was the record before 18? Was it 16,
I think? It was, I'm going to say 17.
Let's say 17. I think someone's going to break it. Even though it's not as much fun, I'll take yes, -240.
Yeah, I don't even know what the qualification, like, can you just send anyone? Can Austin Peay send all 53 guys?
And is it thing? Like, if you're invited to the combine, do you actually have to go to the combine? We see the Caleb Williams part of this, where it's like, I just broke my hand. I think Caleb Williams. Like, now I'm not going to throw at the combine.
Right. I don't even know if we should do the other two questions. You're getting so violent. All right, we'll try it anyway.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino will retire after the season. Mm. Yes, +220. No, -360. He famously last week said, you know what, I'm not having fun. Mm. This sucks. This team sucks. And what did they do? They went out there and upset right. Creighton. It worked like a fox.
Right.
But will he retire?
I think I'm going to go with no with this one as well. I don't think he will retire. He said it's basically life or death. After he lost at Creighton, he said he just wanted to walk out in the snow and just be left there for dead. he also said that he was going to jump in the East River if they don't win a national championship. You know, at St. John's.
He's
got
to be held to that.
Yeah, yeah. So he is absolutely locked in. So I don't think retirement is an option. I think it's life or death for Rick Pitino, and that's how he's treated his whole coaching career.
I like that better than retirement. Life or death. That's
one or the other. Yeah.
All right. Will a Major League Baseball player suffer a wardrobe malfunction this year wearing the new Fanatics pants? Yes, minus 110. No, minus 110. It's split down the middle, and so are those pants, apparently.
Right.
They're like see-through. I don't know what happened. Then the league came out and said, this is not a new cut. What did they say? They said it's not a new cut.
Yeah, they said this. They said it's the same material. Yeah, it's just a new cut. New cut, same material is what they said.
Yeah, they're treating it like we just got HDTV. Right. Like, no, this is your guys. This has nothing to do with us.
This is everybody else's fault. This is not their fault. Yeah. And obviously, Fanatics was the partner that came in this year. That's what people were pointing to. But they're saying they're staying pat. It's still Nike's same material. So they're saying it's not a problem.
So what do you think? Do we see any manhood in there?
I think we've already seen too much manhood. So I think it's yes. Yeah. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, I'm just trying to watch him, you know, in a new Dodgers uniform.
Right.
And now I'm seeing too much. You know what I mean? Now I'm not even sure if I'm part of the young generation that wants to watch Shohei.
No, you're not. You're out. Yeah.
I'm out.
Maybe they should
put
nets up on the undercarriage.
Right.
I'm not sure what they should do. All right. A couple more here. What do we do? Oh, over under. Number of trips to Bojangles for Tate and nephew Kyle.
Right.
Three and a half. You're going to
Carolina?
Going
to North Carolina. Got a live show at the Carolina Theater in North Carolina.
Wow.
The day before the Carolina Duke game. We're going to have some special guests.
Did you invite KOC?
I have not invited KOC. I wanted to invite you because FanDuel's coming to North Carolina. I was like, maybe we shoot a commercial, but no one got back to me.
Really? No, they're not interested in you and I shooting a commercial?
No, no. They said, go to Bojangles. Just have some Bojangles and shut up about it.
Over under 3.5.
I'm taking Kyle at least two times because Kyle needs to see breakfast. He also needs to get dinner. He needs to get a 4-piece chicken supreme.
Okay.
So he's at least going to go two times. I think if we double it up, who knows? Maybe Kyle goes and is like, I need it again. And then after that, he's like, I need it again. So I think taking the over might be a smart play.
I'm going to go over 3.5 here. First of all, it'd be good for you to get good and fat so that when you storm the court and knock over Filipowski again,
He won't play anymore.
That'll be that.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
He's not there for the field. The 68 or whatever.
Maybe we send Kyle out there to storm the court there in Cameron. We'll see what happens with that. But I like that. That was fun.
All right, I'm done. I mean, it's not your favorite game, but maybe top 10?
It's climbing up there. I think it might be top 5, but we'll see. Maybe I'll do like my power rankings like KOC's big board there. Yeah, that'll be good. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have some more fun with Sal and do some line look-aheads.
All right.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. Still here with Cousin Sal, and now we get to do some line look-aheads. And Sal, we're not looking at NFL games.
That would really be looking ahead. We could do that. They do have like the
Have
Hall
they
of
said
fame
those
game.
Lines yet?
We could make them up.
Yeah, we could have some fun with that. But unfortunately, it's time. The basketball is behind you, so you know what this means. We become NBA holes.
Means of September.
Yeah.
That's been there all year. Okay.
We got to lock in. The NBA is in full swing. We'll talk about some college basketball, I'm sure, on these line look-aheads. But today, we're going to focus on the NBA. And let's start with the Houston Rockets taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder minus 10.5 in this game. The total is at 234. What say you, Sal? Who do you like in this game?
I hate this game because they played already on Sunday.
Right.
And I can. Well, I like the player props, Tate, because some of these games get a little screwy. Who's
we talked about this. There's so much variance in the NBA. Like, it's almost better to focus on players.
Too much. Well, it's not, because I had Cam Whitmore. I mean, this is my bet ache of the year. 2024 is rather new, but Cam Whitmore over 12.5 points. He has 11 with 4 minutes left in the second quarter, Tate. I'm not going to complain. I know he's like the ninth man, so he's not going to get a lot of playing time. But he had 11 with 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and then nothing. Nothing the rest of the way. Gets a free throw with 37 seconds left and misses the other free throw. So that's the player props right there. I don't know. I'm trying to think. OKC's won by 13 on Sunday. They have five straight wins by double digits, but I think Houston plays with a little bit of pride and covers the number.
Yeah, I like them covering that number. But like you said, with all these teams, it is hard to kind of figure out who's going to show up on a nightly basis, and then you got injuries and all that sort of stuff factored in. And then you also got rookies who will have 11 points in the second quarter but not score, but 1 point the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think the fans are just concerned about Cam Whitmore and if he can get to 12 and a half points. Right. That's the big question.
Yeah, speaking of rookies, let's do a track to the future here and look at rookie of the year odds. Cam Whitmore not on this list because it's basically two guys, a two-man race. Victor Wembanyama -600 and Chet Holmgren of OKC at +500. Is there any value in taking Chet Holmgren, or is it basically the race is over at this point?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think it is over. And I'd even go as far as to say is Wembanyama probably could play like one more week and then get injured. This is not a good plan in general for him to play one more week and then get injured, but I think his odds are such that he would still win. I don't think he's going to lose it now. By the way, have you seen his 3-point field goal percentage off the bounce?
It's incredible. I mean, when I look at it,
I was in the green room listening.
Yeah, that's it's incredible. Yeah.
Also incredible, the 5x5s, which everybody thinks is a burger challenge my friend Harry is up to, but it's
I think it
good.
Is actually.
He did that the other day, right. All in a losing effort. Only one other rookie has hit the 5x5. Do you know who it is?
Who was it? Yeah.
You want to guess?
No, you tell me.
You don't want to guess?
I don't want to guess.
Oh, I got to play your dumb games, but you can't guess? Here, Jamal Tinsley, 2001.
Oh, nice!
Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good guess.
5x5.
Yeah, right. Like that. Like a 5x5. A shout out to Wembanyama. I do feel like the good news for Victor Wembanyama is at the start of the year it was Wembanyama. Like, ooh. You know, like, there was a lot of people that would not pronounce the name properly, but I feel like as the year has worn on.
You think they'll change it again? One
maybe.
More time? Like
I mean,
Yaza or something?
This happened with Dwayne Wade early on. People used to call him Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that early.
It was
early.
Really Dwyane, right?
Yeah, it spelled it wrong. It was a whole bunch. Next game, let's look ahead at the Boston Celtics taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers in this game, +12.5, total 229.5. The Celtics have been on a tear. They're beating everybody by double digits. They're just basically running laps on the Eastern Conference. Who do you like in this game?
Boy, Philadelphia has been having a lot of trouble, especially at home. They're struggling. I'm going to say this right now, what's my camera? I think they miss Joel Embiid.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I'm going to say
good
it.
Point.
You're not going to hear that. KOC is not going to come out here and say that because it's controversial.
Have you seen his 3-point off the bounce stats? I mean,
I've not seen that. No.
Yeah, you should go check it out.
Record that. I'm going to take the points though. Again, 12.5 is a lot. They played them tough, Philadelphia, and they won 1 out of 3. There was a 3-point game, a 10-point game, and a 6-point game. I think it'll be a narrow margin.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit closer. Maxie will have a better game. Let's track to the future here. Look at the NBA championship odds for this season. Boston, the favorite, +230. Denver, +440. Clippers, +500. The Bucks at +650. Most people are even our boss, Bill Simmons, he's getting to the point where he's like, I think it's the Celtics year. Is it worth taking the Celtics right now at +230?
He's never not said that in the last decade. I was talking with your friend and mine, Brother Bry, from Against All Odds. He did your podcast last week.
It was great.
Yeah, you told him he's not invited back, though.
No,
right?
He's coming on.
He's coming on again?
Yeah. I need him for all women's college basketball.
Nobody
Brother Bry's the answer.
Women's sports more than God bless him. Brother Bry is
locked
there.
In.
Well, we were talking yesterday about the Celtics, not the +230, but the even odds to win the East. At this point, it might be worth it to jump on there. The only thing that really could hurt you is going to be Porzingis getting hurt, or Tatum, obviously. But if you could avoid those two things, they're going to make it to the conference championships. And if you can get them at even odds, it's going to be good because they'll be at least a -180, -200 against Milwaukee.
Yeah, I like that. I like Boston at this point. And, +230, I feel like there's still value there. But Milwaukee is lingering, and KOC pointed out their defense is looking better. So there is a chance. I do feel like the Clippers at +500 also is right there. But it's hard when you see the name, the Clippers, to say they're going to win the NBA championship. But the team looks the part. You know what I mean? If they had any other name across their chest, I feel like they'd have better odds.
Well, maybe they'll change that. Oh, no, they won't. Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. Next up, Wednesday night, I'm going to be at this game. So the Lakers taking on the Clippers in this one. And this is a game. The Clippers right now to win the West, +240. Denver's the favorite at +210. Who do you like in this game, though? Lakers or Clippers?
Lakers took 2 out of 3 with a 3-point and a 5-point win. I'm going to give the edge to the Clippers despite getting mauled by the Kings and Thunder. Big game out of Terrence Mann. Don't ask me why I think that. I just like his field goal percentage off the bounce. But I need to know more about this game. How much can you get for those tickets?
Oh, to sell those tickets?
Yeah
probably about like $120 a piece. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're going to go. Who are you bringing?
I'm going to bring my girlfriend. Yeah, the two of us. I got two seats.
Oh, you really love her.
Yeah,
really
yeah. No, it's nice.
There's
it's sweet.
No doubt about it. Well, that's good.
She's a Sonics fan. They don't exist.
Oh,
so,
really?
We have adopted the Clippers. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll convince her the Sonics are playing.
Maybe 2026, they'll be back. We'll see. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Clippers here.
I like the Clippers. And I feel like the Lakers Clippers always have their bouts and battles. Let's talk about LeBron James because if we track to the future here, go to our friends at FanDuel, they got some props here for when LeBron will score his 40,000th. The regular season point. They have the date. They also have the method in which LeBron will break the record. Which of these bets? We got the odds here. Layup is the favorite, plus 175. The favorite for the date is March 2nd at March 4th at plus 120. What say you, Sal, about LeBron getting his 40,000 point?
I'm gonna say March 4th. Three-pointer, 3-1. I wonder if I could parlay those together. That'd be a nice little payout there. You know, there is part of me that thinks he's just going to dress Bronny up there and get his 40,000 point for that.
Yeah.
And that's that. Then he doesn't have to pretend that they're going to play an entire year together. But listen, we saw what Caitlin Clark did, right? She hit from the freaking logo.
Yeah.
So he's got to top that. If he's going to break this record or break the points or whatever, he's got to hit. What is that concession stand? The Dirt Dog at Crypto?
Yeah.
He's got to kind of do that. He's got to pay with one hand and shoot with the other.
Yeah.
And that's the only way he's going to get recognized.
So I like it. I like it at 3 points. A three-pointer is at plus 300, and if he does it on 3-4, plus 120. So that's a lot of plus money on LeBron James to get that done. And it does feel like a three-pointer is the way that he will do this because that's kind of his subtle way to say, I'm better than Jordan. I'm a better three-point shooter. So
yeah. He's also better at complaining for fouls, too, so he could get it at the free throw line, but maybe pass it up on it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, that'll be a fun one there. So go check that out, FanDuel.com. And last thing, let's do the Tate debate, Sal.
Ooh, all right.
There is a rebrand that is happening with the Los Angeles Clippers they just put out for 2025. They are still going to be the Los Angeles Clippers, but they are leaning into the Clipper itself, the actual boat. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know, the Clipper is a boat.
Smart. So LA.
So best rebrand in pro sports is the question. Let's debate this. Do you think the Clippers have a real case to make here? Because there's been a lot of bad rebrands in the modern era.
It's pretty good. I mean, the owner's like a computer guy. Shouldn't he name them after like an obscure computer term that nobody know? The megabyte? I don't know. I mean, really just like an F you to everybody.
Yeah.
Like a 30-letter name. But anyway, short of that, I think the best rebrand in sports was Ron Artest to Meta World Peace, right? Yeah, this maniac beating up fans, hothead, yelling at coaches, other players, who knows?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he becomes like the Dalai Lama, Meta World Peace. Now, he stopped playing. That helped, too. But I think he's a delightful man.
Yeah, and he had a great moment, you know, in the 2010 NBA championship game. Kobe passing the ball. He hit the three. He yelled out Queensbridge to everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like everyone now, when they think of Meta World Peace, they just think of like a gregarious, likable guy that's at LA Fitness.
Exactly.
That's kind of a great rebrand. I love that. I was going to go with the Charlotte Bobcats turning back to the Hornets just because there was nothing worse than the Charlotte Bobcats winning 7 games back in 2011, 2012 during the lockout year. So I'm not saying the Hornets have been great, but they've won, you know, five of their past 6 games, Sal. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
Show.
We have an 11-minute interview clip here I want to throw to.
Yeah, so he'll watch the Hornets coach. But I like that. I like the Hornets coming back, so I think that's a pretty good rebrand. But shout-out to Steve Ballmer and the Clippers. Sal, shout-out to you. Where can we find all your
thanks.
Amazing
shout
work?
Shout-out back to you, Tate, at the Cousin Sal on Twitter. And Cousin Sal's winning weekend Friday mornings right here on FanDuel TV. Against All Odds during the week podcast.
Great guests, great podcast, and shout out to the degenerate trifecta. They're always the best. And
are you drunk again?
Yeah, again, yes. I've become a degenerate during this moment in time. Appreciate you coming on the show, Sal, and we'll have you back next week.
Okay, good.
Maybe more time.
Or second?
No, more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.